Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Cryptic Commander. We are your hosts. I'm John Nose.
This is Onik.
And we got a special guest with us this week, guys. It's Magic Dad from YouTube. Thanks, AJ. Thanks for coming on today's show, man.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks very much for having me. I'm really grateful for the opportunity, y'all.
And we've got quite a show today, guys. So for the listeners that tune in every week, it's going to be me and Onik this week with AJ. And I don't want to sound like a broken record, but we have quite a show. So we are proudly sponsored by NorthValleyGames.com, where you can go to NorthValleyGames.com, enter the promo code TCC2021, save 10% off your whole order, and they got the program where they're buying your singles. They'll give you an additional 10% using the same promo code. We're also sponsored by the Hobby Goblins. And we're proudly partnered with Magic the Gathering Players Group Facebook group and Cosmic Gaming.
Hobby Goblins, that's a new one.
It is a new one, right?
Ooh.
Yeah, man. So they're a startup. I'm highly involved with them. And we're gonna start doing more things with them. So maybe one day they'll have a promo code or something. Who knows? But it's gonna be really exciting to see where this goes, you know?
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So we're going to start off this week with Card of the Week. Onik, you've got Card of the Week this week.
Yeah, Card of the Week. It's got to be in style of Cryptic Commander to have a blue card for Card of the Week, because that's definitely for you, John. Ledger Shredder. This is a card that's been popping up pretty much out of nowhere, and it kind of fell under everyone's radar. It's a new rare from Capenna. It's a creature for one and a blue. It's a 1/3 flyer. Whenever a player casts their second spell each turn, Ledger Shredder connives. And connive is you draw a card and then discard a card. And if you discard a non-land card, you put a +1/+1 counter on the card.
Yeah, this thing's got a 1/3 body, yeah.
Yeah, this card has been showing up everywhere. It is one of the cards that kind of flew. It's a bird. Bird advisor. It literally flew under everyone's radar, or mostly everyone's radar, to where it looked like an okay card, but it's literally showing up in every format. Legacy, Vintage, Modern, Pioneer, Explorer, Standard, like it's everywhere now. I think the card started at like 50 cents and is now going like to 12, 14 bucks. Wow. It's crazy. This card is nuts. It's everywhere. Have you guys played with this card yet?
I have not.
I actually just played against it, and it didn't pop off in Limited, but I'm surprised I didn't see it as the Tarmogoyf in bird clothing as it truly is.
Yeah, it's funny, because everyone's just calling it a Floppy Goyf, or Bird Goyf, or whatnot. Of course, homage to Tarmogoyf. Tarmogoyf. The 1/3, the one that is, just checks the... It has power toughness equal to the different card types in all graveyards.
Right.
It's not exactly that, but it gets strong quick. So this card is fabulous. So if you haven't had a chance to play with it, just try it out.
I can honestly say this was underneath my radar, man. Until we mentioned it on today's podcast episode, I didn't even think about the power level of this card.
Yeah, it's each person's turn. So your turn and your opponent's turn. And everyone's just naturally going to play spells. Yeah, it needs two spells to get a counter. Or to try to get a counter, but even if you discard land cards, you're still churning through your deck. It's a great card.
Yeah, I'm looking at the extended art version of it right now, but I think I'll pick up a playset of this, and I don't care what kind of I'll get the regular version. You know?
Yeah, just pick it up for sure.
Nice.
We can go ahead and move over to the next segment here. That would be me. It's Secret Lair. So we've got new Secret Lair products coming out. I'm going to go ahead and pull that up real quick. Yeah, if I know how to work my computer. Okay. So we got Pride Across the Multiverse. And I think that's the only one that's available right now, right? And that's going to be available for 46 more days.
Yeah, so you got plenty of time.
Yeah, it's got I can name the cards, but it's not really doing it justice because of what this product is. It's all for the Trevor product. So, if you guys don't know,
wait, Trevor, is that another type of like Timmy and Spike and type of magic player?
No. So the Trevor project, you can actually go to www.thetrevorproject.org. and they'll explain more about it. It's the world's largest suicide prevention and crisis intervention organization for the LGBTQ young people.
Oh, wow. I had no idea. That's fantastic.
Yeah, each card was illustrated by an LGBTQIA2+ artist, bringing their own unique creative styles and lived experiences. So the cards are Alicia, who smiles at death,
yep.
Bearscape, which happens to be one of my favorite out of this whole collection, by the way, Collective Voyage, Heartbreak of Spring, Mana Confluence, great card, Savor the Moment, another great card, Soul Ring, okay, we got a theme here, and Triumphant Reckoning. What I love about the Bearscape card, if you really look closely at it, the clouds are bears, there's a bear in the background, it's really cute.
You have to look at the art on these things. It's like, describing it is not going to do it justice. You have to take a look at it. Everyone's talking about, I think, like you said, Bearscape. These are all reprints. None of these cards are new.
Right.
But the art on it, it's just
amazing.
Just dudes, yeah. In just topless dudes that, who just, you know, just to call bears, just cuddling. It's, I love it. It's so amazing. It's a heartbeat of spring. It has Huatli and Saheeli together, embracing each other. Then you have Savor the Moment, which is Rawl and, oh, what's his name? Oh my God, I forgot the name. I forgot his name. His husband.
Well,
is he like a newer planeswalker?
What card are you talking about? What card are you talking about?
Savor the Moment.
Savor the Moment is done by Kieran Yanner.
I'm talking about the character on it. And
Tomik.
Tomik.
There you go.
Rawl and Tomik. That's who, because they finally got married. Apparently, they were going to get together and get married and whatnot during the War of the Spark, but Bolas was wreaking havoc and whatnot, and they finally got married somewhere. I'm not so sure where it is, but they finally got the card, and it's just them two holding each other. And the flavor text is, I do.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. I love that so much. Cute.
Yeah.
Triumphant Reckoning is Nico. Nico's on there, and Mana Confluence has a six colors of the, you know, of the Pride flag. Yeah. To me, I'm like, oh, six colors of magic. Oh, hold on, that's not it.
Yeah, there was a whole bunch of talk about that card too. Like, it looked like Care Bears or whatnot. You know.
Yeah, but, I can see that.
Yeah, but if you really look at the art real close, you can see what's going on. You know, and I knew right away it was the rainbow. You know.
Yeah, like right. This. Lair, I love this lair so much. I didn't order it, but I still donated $50 to the Trevor Project.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably gonna buy this for a friend.
Yeah, like, nice.
Yeah, they're part of, they identify with the community. Like, I'm probably gonna get it for them.
I will say that 50% of each one of these, you know, that half the money is gonna go to the Trevor Project for these. So
yeah, and that's what bothered me, because everyone's like, oh, this is a cash grab. Like, this is like the least cash grab. Yo, like, half the money is not even going to Wizards. It's going to the community.
Right.
Like, right. Come on. Don't call it a cash grab. Oh, I can't even say the word. I'm so upset about that. Anyway, I love the community. I love the cards. Like, I love this so much.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. I hadn't even heard about the Trevor Project until this conversation. So it's so wild to me that, you know, because if you're listening to this podcast now, then you probably know what all these cards are and you've seen them. It's, you hear more about the people with the bad opinions about it than the actual really great thing that it's doing. Mm-hmm. And that's sad, but I don't think it's all right, because things are changing, and it's just because a few people on the internet say some things that has nothing to do with anything. I think it's going to be the best-selling secret lair ever.
I think so, too. I think I know what you're talking about, because when you go on Facebook and things like Twitter, you do see, you know, a divide. You know, you'll see the toxicity. You know, you'll see that firsthand. And I love what you just said there, too, AJ. You know, we always keep things positive, man. You know, this is exactly what it is. I don't think we misrepresented it in any way. And there's no reason to talk negative about something so beautiful.
Yes, absolutely.
Feel you 100%.
We're going to go over to Magic the Gathering Arena updates. I know we got Arena open. AJ, you're playing the Arena open right now.
Yeah. Just playing turn four Ballroom Brawlers off two treasures. Missed my fourth land drop. But I got a Jewel Thief in the Ballroom Brawlers versus... They got a Citizen and a 2-1 Discipline Duelist. I got two wins on this run so far, I think. This is a tough tournament, man, but I'm giving it my all, that's for sure.
This is, I think, the second time they've done a limited arena open, or is this the first?
I think it's the second time, if I can remember.
They've been doing it since Kaldheim.
Well, not sealed.
Not sealed. For the opens?
The open, we're not denying the opens they've been doing it for a long time. What we're saying is that it's a sealed event.
Yeah. If it's not Kaldheim, then it's Strixhaven, because I actually made day two for Strixhaven. I think it might have been Strixhaven, because I actually made day two. But the funny thing is, I muted my video halfway through. So yeah, no, the Arena Open goes all the way back to Strixhaven. So yeah, I've been playing in them for every limited set that they've had. I think they've had them for every one. I'm not sure about AFR. I just can't really remember. Play a lot of Magic.
Because I know sometimes the opens are either standard or historic or alchemy. I just don't remember it being too often. It was a limited, either sealed or draft. And this one is both. Day one is sealed and day two is draft.
Yep. And same thing for Kamigawa last time as well.
Okay.
The past few... They may have skipped some, but I know that the past few for sure. We can go back on my channel, because I've done all available Arena Opens limited since it was available. So it's always hard. The first time I did it, I think it was 4,000 gems, but it's 5,000, so it's a huge investment. But I'm a free to play player because I've done a lot of grinding and I have 59 arena accounts.
Right.
So I'm able to just churn and burn through these drafts, but I was just thinking through these sealeds, and I was just thinking, like, man, can you imagine people who are doing what I'm doing right now and actually spending money on it? Like doing like six of these events that cost at least $40. And you know, these are the people who are buying the four packs for $200. I'm sure we can talk about some of that stuff later, but it's definitely a high stakes environment. That's for sure.
Yeah. High risk, high reward sort of thing.
For sure.
And I think we got the New Capenna championship coming up soon. I think it's next weekend, isn't it?
So I'm not sure. I know that there's like invitationals and stuff that like you can get like certain qualification points and stuff through Arena. Mm-hmm. I don't ever actually get that because I unfortunately, because I have 59 accounts, none of my individual accounts ever kind of get any traction. So I haven't had enough success to even earn one. So there it is.
Pretty much the players are going to be competing for a seat at the World Championships. Because the previous world champion is Yuta Takahashi. There's, I think, total 32 seats available. But I believe it's next weekend. And there's still a lot of players in for the running to try to get this. They last few
That's
seats.
Awesome.
I was going to say that they're trying a new thing, too, where they're going to have more opportunities for people to make it to Worlds, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's May 20th to 22nd. Yeah. So it is. It's standard and historic constructed.
Wait. We got another one coming up on the 20th?
It's not an open. It's a championship. This is a one where if you rank top 1200 in either constructed or limited, you get an invite, and you have to clear day one and day two to qualify for this one. I'm talking about now, the New Capenna Championship.
Then I've got a lot of grinding to do in the next 6 days.
Yeah, it's well, at this point, you've already missed your window of opportunity, so you would be competing for Dominaria United Championship.
Oh, okay. And that's fine.
Nice.
It's not like we got a lot going on anyway, right? I'm kidding. All right.
Well, I'm happy to see organized play coming back in some form.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and it's funny because like all the paper cards have gone up in price too. Because everyone's buying cards like, oh, Pioneer's back? Okay, let me buy some cards.
Yeah, it's just healthy for the game. And also, you know, I'm not really, I would consider myself an aspirational player. You know, like I would never, if I even got an opportunity to participate in a, you know, big event like that, that would be a win for me, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's just even just having that, knowing that there's pros playing Magic, knowing that there's more to it all, I love it. That's just what it's all about for me.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, AJ, you have your own YouTube channel, and you're actually streaming a video right now, right?
Yeah, that's right. We're broadcasting live galaxy-wide right now, streaming on my YouTube channel, and I got a Bose headset, so I gotta like have my little microphone real close to the phone, but it's perfect. They can hear you, and that's dope. So everything's going great. I've been having a lot of success since I joined up with Mr. DJ Longhair on YouTube every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern time. It's been a great opportunity for me, not only to, you know, just get out there and do some stuff, but also I've learned so much from all the guys in the group and in their own different ways. And John, you actually helped me a lot today, man. You talked me off an edge. I was tilting. I made a big mistake with my my first ever live stream. But man, you really put it in perspective for me, and you know, things have been going really well for my channel, so I'm in a good place.
Good, man. Good. That's absolutely awesome.
Absolutely. So if anybody's tuning into this podcast and they haven't heard about you, and if I didn't mess it up earlier, how can they get a hold of you on YouTube?
Yeah, just search for Magic Dad, but also put AJ after that. Because if you only search for Magic Dad, that channel's kind of small. I got like 160 subscribers, so you might find sleight of hand things. But if you type in Magic Dad AJ, you'll find me. And so I just lost, so I can take a look here. It's all good. It's all good. I can pull up. I gotta look in a different window. Pull up a different thing, and I can confirm this arena open. So I only play limited, although I am getting into, I've been starting to do IRL videos for the pre-release. So that's been pretty cool. So it hasn't been everyone. Strixhaven Arena Open, Midnight Hunt, Crimson Vow, Nian Dynasty, and this one. So those have been the arena opens. I don't know if Kaldheim had it or not, but I didn't. My channel just started last May, so I've had this for a year.
Okay. And all of those were limited opens.
Yep, absolutely. And I've got my participation in all of them, and you can watch me slam my head against the wall when I wake up at 4 a.m. to try and run some sealed pools, and I crack them and I discard them and keep going. And yeah, man, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's just, you know, like I was saying, it's competitive Magic, having just high stakes tournaments, playing against the best opponents. That's what it's all about. I love it.
Yeah.
Not to mention half the fun's us learning something on this show also.
Yeah. I thought it was just like you've only done it twice or three times or something, but I guess it's been every time. I'm clearly not a tournament grinder. I just know about the tournaments, but not really what's involved with them.
No doubt. Yeah, and then in between they have like the standard and historic, like all the other little arena opens. But it seems like after the first 3 weeks or 3 or 4 weeks of the format, that's when they do the arena open. And that's about when I stop playing, because I start tilting and I need to take a step back and
Now we're gonna move over to another segment called Top Decks, but we've kind of alluded to we've changed Top Decks quite a lot. What we're going to do from now on when it comes to top decks, we're only going to discuss the formats that we actually play ourselves. So I play Modern and Standard. And Onique, what do you play?
Pretty much Standard, Historic, but I pretty much exclusively play Arena. So I'm a little bit involved with Alchemy and Explorer now, or Pioneer Junior.
So I'll go ahead and let you cover top decks. So just make sure you cover the ones that you know about or the ones that you can talk about, and then Standard and Modern on top of it, because I like talking about those myself.
Yeah. Sorry, you said you got standard?
I can cover standard or modern. It doesn't matter. I mean, I love both of those. So,
well, with the top deck's going to be kind of interesting with the Cerisa New Capenna Championship coming up, because it's both standard and historic. It seems that standard's like pretty much at the, we're talking about 9 enchantments, mono white aggro, Esper mid range.
Yeah,
it seems pretty open right now, of what I see. Jessica Control is a dragon's horse of mid range. I mean, mid range seems to be where everyone's kind of flocking to at the moment. I don't know which one is the best deck right now. Do you have any experience with that, John or AJ?
You're talking about as far as standard?
Yeah, standard.
Hold on 1 second. I'm getting to the website.
No, I don't even play standard to grind on my accounts anymore.
I do.
But I have been happy with the way that the standard environment's been kind of like shaken up. And I like how the sets are released so frequently these days. It's kind of like a double-edged sword, but one thing that it does benefit is it shakes up standard quite often. So I'm into that.
Let me go ahead and tell you what I know about standard, okay? I do know for a fact this new Obnixilus card is shaking things up so much. Okay, so like the number one deck in standard is Jun-Nixilus. But if you go down the list, you've got, I know it's going to sound funny, but we got Grixis Obnixilus. We've got Rakdos Obnixilus. I mean, as I go down this list, it's almost everything's Obnixilus, okay? And so when I look at the top deck, it says Jun-Nixilus at a meta of 9.11%, which is huge, okay? But in all honesty, what I'm seeing when you get up to the diamond area, because I haven't reached mythic yet, is I'm seeing mono white weenie, and there's a lot of strong cards in mono white, especially that wanderer, you know. But I mean, as far as this new Obnixilus card, I think it's changing the format as we speak, you know.
Yeah, Mob Grixilus has been that's what I want to call him. He's been a card that everyone's like, I have to build around him. This guy looks so much insane. Yeah. Like, it's almost a 2-for-1. I mean, sacrifice a creature, yes.
Well, they said it on the other podcast I was on, the Filthy Net Deckers. They said, you know, I think it was Saffron Olive or somebody built a mono black deck, and then they put him in. Isn't he like black and red?
Yep.
Yeah. So they're like, where are they going to get the red source from? It's like, I don't know, bro, but I guess the card's so hoss, he's got to have it. You know what I mean?
I mean, you also mentioned just now, is you said Orzhov Mob Obnixilus. Mm-hmm. And Orzhov is black-white. So again, where's the red? So is it Mardu? But yeah, I think Ob is the type of card that, like, I've got to try it, but I don't think it's performing as hype as everyone thought it would.
Well, right. The Rakdos Obnixilus, I'm looking at a meta of 1.48%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, you're right on the nose when it comes to it. But we're seeing so much of it because everybody wants to have it, man. Yeah. Everybody wants to play test with it. So when you go to your local game stores, I mean, these are going to be our meta is, and let me again remind everybody that we're getting all this data from tournaments. We're getting it from local game stores. We're getting our meta from everyone. Basically, we get our information from topdecks.net, and this database is getting it from everywhere, man, that you can imagine, you know, Star City Open tournaments, everything. So what we're saying in a nutshell is everybody's getting their hands on this Obnixilus.
Yeah, I still think by far Wanderer is much, much better Planeswalker.
I agree. The white weenie's looking at a meta of 4.99%. And like I said, when you get up there to diamond, because again, I haven't touched mythic yet this month, all I'm seeing is white weenie. I'm not even kidding, man.
Yeah, I think mono white is the best deck at the moment.
Yeah. So we're just waiting for that to catch back up, basically, you know, because everybody's going goo goo gaga over the streets of Campana, and with this Obnixilus, you know. It makes me want to look up what the price of that card's worth, man, you know?
Yeah.
But let's move over to some other formats here.
So historic, it seems to be Izzet Phoenix, Rakdos Arcanist, Blue-White Auras, Golgari Aggro, which is the pretty much the food deck. Those are pretty much the top of the meta. I've been really enjoying my... It's a brew, pretty much. It's a Bant Blink deck. with the Orion. It picked up some new toys with new Capenna, with of course the Trium, or
of course
whatever the land is.
Yeah.
And what's her name? It's not Allegra. Lagrella? I forget what
it is. Yeah, Lagrella, the Bant O-ring creature.
Yeah. Two-sided Oblivion ring. She's been a lot of fun. It's what the card that like everyone didn't really know what it did when you first read her, because the text is kind of confusing, but she's been a lot of fun. I also have one Titan of Industry there, just because just blinking that card is just fun as heck. That's personally what I'm having some success with, but again, Standard and Historic are gonna be in the Open, so I'm actually very not the Open, the championship, so I'm very, very much looking forward to the metagame breakdown once they submit the deck list, and we could talk about that next week and see what we got there.
Right. Okay. Do we want to go to Modern? Or?
Yeah, we can go to Modern.
So Modern, we're seeing Is It Murktide, number one. Number two, Four Color Blink, which moved up. And then you got Tamir Cascade. Wow. And if you guys want to know the meta, the top deck is 6.38%, second place 6.35%, and third place 3.67%.
That sounds extremely healthy if the numbers are that low for the top three.
Now, is it coming strong in Modern? It's been strong for a long time, right? This Murktide, I'm looking over the list. It's just because they're adding newer cards. So Power Creep really is a thing. And then the Four Color Blink, man, like I said, that moved up too. The Tamir Cascade is the first time I'm seeing it in the top decks, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. I think it's more of a, it plays out of more of a combo deck, I think.
Well, yeah, Cascade. I mean,
yeah, of course.
Yeah, but 3.67% of the meta, not much of around, you know. And again, at third place, it's not one I would really go to try and build right now. I'd stay on the Is It side of things.
It's how have you noticed like a big shift in the entire meta with the banning of Lurrus in Modern?
No, not really, because I don't come across a lot of Esper or Orzhov decks in Modern. What I will come across is a lot of the mono red decks in Modern.
Okay.
But, as far as Lurrus, no, you know, I mean, because there's so many combos out there people want to play with, like that Urza's Land, you know, Urza Saga and stuff like that, you know, and then you got these other combos that are going off that are so strong and come out turn one and two. You know, and that's what you're looking at as far as it's a turn three format, you know, let's face it, you know. So no, I'm not really seeing any problems with Lurrus being banned in Modern, at least.
I mean, not so much any problems, but like it kind of opened up the format a little bit more. Like,
well, yes, you know, absolutely. Yeah. Because I remember back in November we were talking about Esper control being on top so long. It's like, when are these ever gonna change, man? You know? Mm-hmm. So I mean, for real, I think the companions were real strong, and even when they errated them, they were still strong.
Yeah,
because of the fact that you're building your deck out of this requirement, you know. But
strong.
Yeah, the companions are way too strong. Yeah, but that's a different story for another podcast, right? Yeah, I do see that it opened it wide up, as we're seeing. Man, is it's back on top, right where it should be. But yeah, I'm glad it's healthy for the environment, man. You know, it's really healthy for the environment. I mean, if you look at the Is It deck too, it's what, $1,200, you know, and the decks that are losing to it cost at least $500 more than that, you know.
That's wild.
I know, right? Are there any other formats that you want to mention on top decks this week?
We can get to Explorer is okay. A format that it's still pretty wide open. Well, no, excuse me, I take that back. It was the exact opposite of wide open. It was pretty much, if you're not running Winota, you're running a deck to combat Winota.
Yes.
And
yes,
it got to the point to where like it was the most popular deck to play, and it was the most winningest deck to play.
Now, it's not banned yet, right?
Haha, you are incorrect there, sir. It is banned.
Wow.
They banned Winota.
Was that recently?
Yes. That was actually this week. They banned Winota and they banned Tibble Strickery, which that car is just a nuisance that can go away.
Well, Tibble Strickery is one of my favorite cards.
It's the flavor. Like, the flavor of the card is fine. I get the chaos part of it. Like, your spell is turning into another spell. But we can go over the problem of the card itself another time.
Right.
But it was just... regardless of its win rate, it either wins quickly or it loses quickly. There isn't really much of a game to be played.
Right.
So it doesn't matter how good your deck is or how bad it is. It's just like, oh, it's over already?
Yeah.
There's no satisfaction of winning or losing with or against that deck.
Well, so, Winota, that's what turned me off on Explorer, because it's almost like they figured that format out real quick. And if you're not Winota, you're just not playing, you know? Like,
yeah.
It turned me off so much because you alluded to it a minute ago. I had to play with Doom Scars, that one black thing that, you know, does -2, or -X and stuff. I had to use those things because, you know, you got to find a way to take care of Winota, man. If not, you're gone.
Yeah.
To me, it was a turnoff, you know?
So yeah. People are running Red Cap Melee, deal 4 to a red creature. People are running Raven Fieldment, -4/-4 to a white creature. People are just looking for the cheapest way they can deal with Winota. Or they just run Winota themselves. And I think it even got to the point to where, like, even if you don't draw Winota, the deck still has enough gas in it to overrun it. So banning Winota still leaves a deck behind, but I don't know how much is really left. But they've already said it in the BNR announcement that with the release of Dominaria United, they will unban Winota. New cards are entering the format by the time, so the Explorer metagame will be different. And they already said that they want Explorer's BNR to match the same one as Pioneer. But yeah, because the card pool is different, the metagame is going to be different too. So eventually it's going to be one and the same. But right now they kind of have to control things a bit differently with Explorer.
That brings a question up. Is Deathrite Shaman an Explorer?
No.
See, well, yeah,
different Explorer, card pools. No, actually,
yeah. So it's a different card pool altogether, man, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to cover Movers and Shakers, a big expo coming up, Beginner's Corner, and much more. All right, everybody, welcome back. And where did we leave off here? Let me pull back up my notes here. We got Movers and Shakers is now powered by mtgstocks.com. Now everybody at home can actually follow along with us every week just by simply going to mtgstocks.com and clicking on the weekly winners at the very top. So this week we're going over the weekly winners of May 13th. And we'll start right here with, I'm going to murder the name, Arlen the Pax Hope at $7.53, which is trending down. We've got Venser Shaper Savant at $2.94, slowly trending down. Miri Cat Warrior, $4.95. It's moving up. Number three this week, Unfulfilled Desires at $17.05, which is an increase of 104%. This card's for Mirage. On the reserved list. All right. Number two, Reign of Riches, $17.09, which is up an amazing 282%. And number one this week, Jolene the Plunder Queen, $9.90, which is up 348%. What is up with this card?
This card's new, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got three abilities. Whenever a player attacks one or more of your opponents, that attacking player creates a treasure token. This incentivizes players to attack other people but you. Obviously, the downside is that you are ramping your opponents. Number two, if you would create one or more treasure tokens, instead create those tokens plus one. And more treasure tokens is good in a deck that's built around it. More ramp, color fixing, or other artifact shenanigans. And the third one is sacrifice five treasures. Put 5/1/1 counters on Jolene, being able to create a bunch of treasure and then being able to buff Jolene on instant speed is pretty good. That way you can also make your treasure late in the game. Huh. It's a legendary creature also.
The commander herself?
Well, you can, it's a solid commander by herself, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't think this card is very old. I think it's like this card's maybe a month old.
Right.
It released with Capenna. So I'm surprised it's already seeing such a massive jump just being out for such a short amount of time.
There's a note here. It says on April 27th, we saw Jolene the Plunder Queen being played by Ned Fulmer in Game Nights on the Command Zone, putting a lot of extra eyes on the card. But you would think the spike happened back then, but is now steadily going up. Huh. It does look like a solid card. It's not in my colors.
Your colors are blue and blue, isn't it?
Blue and blue, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not in my colors, but... So,
I do want to point out that NTG Stocks did, of course, have Ledger Shredder on their radar last week. Last week it was number one at an increase of 900%. Like, I'm telling you, y'all, like, this card was like a dollar.
Already, yeah, already,
it man. Was a dollar, and then it just spiked like crazy to like 11 bucks. A dollar to $9 is 900%. So there's your math.
Being rotation proof, it'd probably either go up more or just stay there. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Like guys, check out NTG Stocks. It's if you want to, like, if people invest in Magic cards, it's just what they naturally do. People, you know, this is why they buy boxes, you know, the set boosters, the collector boosters, hoping these things jump up in value. Like, legit, like, check out MTG Stocks and just keep an eye out. See what people are talking about. See what cards people are collecting for Commander, playing staples in their constructed decks. It's a lot of fun tools here. And just if you just like stocks in general, this is just, you know, more of it. It's fun.
I love MTGStocks.com, not only because we're powered by them, but with that little tickler at the top and the fact that you can just, I mean, yeah, I know you can go to many websites and see the value, but this thing right here, this guy puts his heart and soul into it just like we do with our podcast, you know?
It's a ticker, not a tickler.
Oh, did I mess that part up?
It's a tickler.
No, the tickler, that's an old collections term. The tickler is like just like this, the line of numbers next to all the commands. The tickler. Oh, wow. Funny.
So you guys have heard here and there about, like, I remember seeing this meme at one point that, like, if you're at a local game store and you have poor hygiene, you may be asked to leave.
Right.
Well, Yu-Gi-Oh tournaments are now taking it like seriously. They're penalizing players for being smelly. That's literally the headline. Konami is cracking down on poor hygiene at its official Yu-Gi-Oh TCG tournaments, with the implementation of a new rule that penalizes players if they or their clothes are dirty or bad smelling. Like, use deodorant, take a shower, change your shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. We had, what was it? Me and Slothy, we were on the podcast. We had Joey Moss from Bad Boy Gaming on, and we talked about it back then.
Yeah. With I Joey remember Moss. That. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
You know? And it's just, It really is, you know, a shame that this continues to happen, but, you know, we're only in charge of ourselves, you know, but, and like Slothy even said, it's a shame when the store's got to put signs up, you know. I was talking to somebody in the truck the other day and I said, you think they're going to do this with Magic? And they're like, you know what? They probably are, man. They're going to do it with Magic and other games too, you know?
Okay.
Good luck enforcing it.
Yeah. Well, this can be common knowledge and common courtesy just to be presentable in public, especially in a environment to where you need to have one-on-one contact with another individual for, let's say, an extended period of time, because I don't know how long the average game of Yu-Gi-Oh! Takes, but in the world of Magic, it could be 15 to 40 minutes of a single match. And if you're just unpleasant to be around, no one will want to even interact with you.
Yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh is about the same time, really. Some of the games can go quicker, just like in Magic, you know.
Yeah,
tier one deck, but because you're taking turns and, you know, like a checker game, you know, you're taking turns. Some people take their time, man, you know, so they got like little time limits on it too. It's about the same time.
Okay. Like still, like, I don't know, just put on another shirt. Like if you need to like take a shower the night before or something, I don't know, guys. Like I get
it's hard to talk about, right? And that's why I loved having Joey Moss on, because he even said, he goes as far as to say, you know, I'm at my place right now. I'm not around anyone. I'm just doing my thing. I'm sure you guys are doing your thing. But when you go out in public, you know, take a shower, man. Put on some fresh clothes. And if you got to fake it till you make it, throw it in the dryer with a dryer sheet. Do something, you know?
It's an unfair advantage. Oh, you can't sit across from somebody and they're poisoning me out there, you know?
I'm taking poison damage.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if you ask a judge, they probably are like, look, man, do you want to forfeit because that guy smells, you know? So I don't know if it's a tactic people use, but personally, I think it's just they're just, you know, let me put it out there, man. You know, it's just lazy, you know?
You mentioned a tactic. What, this is chemical warfare now?
Yes. Right. Right.
I thought I read somewhere like a long time ago that like the reason why cologne was invented was because people weren't showering. So they just used cologne and perfume to mask the odor. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. But I mean,
I don't know. I thought
as a last resort, sure.
Toilet water for outhouses.
Yeah. But still, like if you're going to go like with the return of in-person events for Magic the Gathering, like, be presentable. I mean, we're not talking about that you have to shave or you have to comb your hair or put on makeup or whatever. You're not going out on a date unless that's your alternative goal. Sure, whatever. just be presentable, you know? Again, you don't have to click your nails or whatever. Just don't smell. It's not that hard, please. Don't be stinky.
Moving along, though, I will tell everybody, let me pull up my notes, because there is an event coming up. It's an expo, and it's also called Strategicon. Some people will call it Game X. It's going to be May 27th through the 30th, located at Hilton. So it's the Hilton. At
like 2 weeks from now.
At Los Angeles Airport, also known as LAX. The address is 5711 West Century Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90045.
Yeah, I know exactly where that is.
I personally will be running single round elimination drafts, and I will be a guest speaker.
Wait, hold up. You're coming to LAX?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude.
May 27th through the 30th.
2 weeks? Oh, dude, like we got to meet. Oh my God. I'm so excited right now. 2 weeks. I need to. Okay. I don't think I'm working that weekend. No, I'm not. Dude. Oh my God. Let's go.
That's so awesome.
So yeah, man. Yeah, I'll be personally doing, like I said, I'll be doing single round elimination drafts and I'll be a guest speaker. I know, right?
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll be looking forward to that, man. If you're really going to meet me, man, I'll hug you, dude.
100%. Sure. Hey, yeah. I'll be sure to take a shower if you do the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll take two, dude.
All right, let's go. Yeah, 100%, dude. Like, yeah. Oh God, like I just like, I'm excited now.
I know, right?
I wasn't really aware of this convention coming up, but now I'm 100% going to be there. We will meet. I promise you that.
Absolutely, and another thing too, I'll be doing a live podcast, so I'll make sure to bring my 2-person podcast set up. And we could do a podcast live from there and see who else we can get on too.
Oh, you know? That'll be fun.
I know, right? It'll be our first ever, man. So, you know, I was hoping later on in life I can travel and do this on the road at events and game stores and stuff. So this is actually starting to become a reality. And also, before we move on to our last segment of today's show, I do want to remind people that if you go over to anchor.com where the podcast is being produced from, there is a supporter tab if you guys feel like supporting the podcast. Right now, we still have one supporter, Justin Hill. Thank you, Justin. And he is supporting at the $5 a month level. And we can't do it without you guys. So please consider supporting the podcast, even as low as 99 cents a month. Let's move over to our last segment. And who is bringing that one up? I think it's you.
So for Beginner's Corner, it's been a while since we've been had an episode. So since then, we actually had two new formats on Arena. Alchemy and Explorer. We talked about Explorer just a bit ago. Explorer was introduced maybe like 3 weeks ago. I don't even think it's been that. It's pretty much Pioneer Lite. It is a format that's going to mimic. It's not quite a mimic. It's going to be a format that you could play on Arena that you could also play in paper. If you have a deck that you like in Alchemy, you can get the exact same cards in paper. There's no rebalancing. There's no digital aspect to it. It's pretty much one for one. Eventually, you're going to expand the card pool. This is going to take about 2 years. So don't expect this to happen like by the end of the summer or something. They're going to expand the card pool to where we will have literally Pioneer on Arena, which is going to be great. Once we have everything that we need, it will no longer be called Explore. It's going to be called Pioneer.
Before we go on to Alchemy, AJ, what are your thoughts on Explore?
I'm happy for it because I'm a purist. So Alchemy has kind of opened my mind in a little bit, in the sense that I really didn't like it when it came out. Just the idea of it isn't good. In my mind, I was like, I don't like the idea.
Now, hold on. We're talking about Explorer right now.
Sure. Yeah. I'm getting around to it.
Okay.
Because I don't like digital only cards.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So Historic was sweet because it was the extended for the, you know, the whatever eternal quote air quotes yeah. format for Arena. But then with Alchemy, then you're getting these cards in Historic. So Explorer finally reestablishes that eternal format on yes. Arena where you don't have to deal with Alchemy cards, which I've actually come around to, and I don't yuck the yum of Alchemy players anymore. If they want to play that, then they should, because it can all exist together in harmony.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Alchemy is a format that is pretty much standard legal with the addition of digital only cards that are exclusive to Arena. So you're not going to find this on Magic Online. And there are cards that have new mechanics, new features, new concepts that are essentially impossible to do in paper.
Like Perpetual
or Perpetuate or whatever it's called. Seek, Draft. What's the one that that counts up? I forget what it's called.
Beats me.
I can Google it real quick. Hold on.
Intensity. I think it was Intensity. Intensity.
It's been interesting to see these new digital only keywords and stuff be developed, because a lot of them, I feel it's like Wizards leveraging the fact that everyone who's ever made a card game is ripping them off. So they get to see the games that other people make, and then they get to rip them off. Like Perpetual, if you guys have ever heard of the game Eternal by Direwolf Digital, basically instead of +1/+1 counters or -1/-1 counters, it's everything's just perpetual in that, but it doesn't say that. So that Magic, I'm sure they saw it and they adopted it for their own game, and kudos to them. They get to save money on development.
Yeah, I mean, most likely it's hard to develop a game without any kind of outside influence whatsoever. I mean, like you're gonna see an example here or read about a story there, and you're gonna get inspiration, and you're gonna be like, oh, we could do that too. But for Magic, it's gonna be a little bit different.
I want to remind everybody that we didn't have a name for Magic the Gathering as far as what kind of genre it was. So it coined the term CCG.
Yes.
Magic the Gathering is the father of Pokemon. It's the father of Yu-Gi-Oh, Harry Potter, and many, many more, you know.
Flesh and Blood.
MetaZoo. Yeah, all these new ones too. They say the average lifespan for a card game, a collectible card game, is 1 year. But yeah, with all the years Magic has been out, you know, I think Alchemy, for them to do this digital only version, is kind of fun to play around with, but also in the same sense, it's doing a disservice to people, because once they realize it's a real card game in real life, like, I'll give you an example. Okay. I met a guy named Josh and I showed him my deck of cards and I was like, Magic the Gathering. He's like, wait, it's my favorite game on my Xbox 360. I didn't know this was a real game in real life. And I'm like, dude, no way. You love Magic the Gathering? He's like, I love it. So I think it's doing a disservice for people who want to go from a digital version, once they realize it's a real game, and let's face it, you can make money playing the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I personally think, now correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but I personally think it's doing a disservice to players.
That you mean a digital aspect?
Yeah, digital aspect, as far as, you know, you're only going to be able to play this game in this format on this one device, you know, like whatever you're playing on your PC or your phone, whatever, but you're only going to be able to play this game on this in particular game in this in particular section.
I'm okay with Arena having a format that is exclusive to Arena.
Right.
I'm fine with that. Because I don't see it hurting Magic as a whole at all. Because you could just simply ignore it and it doesn't exist to you.
Right.
Like, I mean, people are playing Vintage and Legacy and dumping, like, you know, thousands and tens of thousands of dollars to get these cards.
Right.
But if you don't play the format, then it doesn't matter. You can still go to your, you know, FNM and go draft or do whatever.
Right.
But yeah, Alchemy takes advantage of the digital aspect that is accessible on an online game. But as you said, not a lot of people really cared for that aspect. It felt a bit gimmicky. It felt untraditional, we'll say.
Right. I agree with AJ's statement. And like I said, I don't want to harp on it too much, but I just think it's doing a disservice to the people who, you know, the very select few out there, especially when you're trying to target new players, right? I just think it's doing a disservice to them once they realize you can play this in real life with real cards and go to click a game store, meet new people and have fun that way. I like it for what it is. If you're getting tired of the monotony or something and you want to try something that's definitely different, like Perpetual to me is fun. And what AJ said earlier too, it's okay for them to rip this off somebody else, because let's face it, they ripped it off Magic in the first place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if you're only going to go there and you're going to do that and you're going to have fun with it, that's fine with me. And like you said, every product they make is not for everybody. So if you're not going to want it, don't buy it. You know, I'm not buying into it because it is what it is, but it's just not a format for me, you know?
Yeah. It's not a format for me either.
What about you, AJ?
No, and that's okay. I see what you're saying though, about how if someone's really into Alchemy and they want to, they hear that it's a real game and they say, okay, well, I want to play my, I want to seek something. It's, well, that's not how that works. It's not actually what happens here. I can see how that could turn off some players, but I feel like it might actually generate more new players than lose enfranchised Arena players is what I'm trying to say. And that's why, like you guys are saying, it's not for you. It's also not for me. So I'm on the same page with that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So it's not for you either. Okay. Well, I mean, right here, when they on wizards.com, you go to one of their things where they're talking about it. Alchemy is built for our digital first players who consume content more quickly, but also want a metagame that stays fresh and evolves. As a digital-only format, Alchemy lets us add new cards. We've already talked about what it does, right? Well, again, it's just for the digital-only players that want to consume more content quickly. You know, I know we're in a day and age where on Arena, I can get 10 games versus one game in real life, you know? Yeah. But, you know, I get where they're going. So it's not for everybody. Who is it for? You see what I'm saying? From my experience, I'm not seeing seasoned players jump into it head first. Yeah, I tried it out. It's not for me. Okay. Other seasoned players I talk to is the same experience, right? Who are they targeting with this? The people who want something different and fresh?
I think so. Yeah. Alchemy came out first, and then we had the introduction of Explorer.
Right.
Alchemy just really wanted to take advantage of the digital aspect of the game. And for it, the reason why it's not for me is because it feels too similar to standard. Even though the metagames are different, even though they do have cards that are specifically for alchemy and not any other format, even though alchemy has cards made specifically for alchemy as well as historic, it still feels too similar. And they also do the rebalancing to where if a card is too powerful or underpowered, they can adjust power level to make it more in line to however they see fit. I don't really like the volatility, if that's the word, of that. And for that, I'm out.
it's fragile. It's fragile.
Yeah.
So I guess before we wrap up Beginner's Corner, what are we trying to say to new players that are starting off when it comes to Alchemy and Explorer?
So for me, I personally suggest for everyone, if you're starting to play Arena, start with Standard.
Yep.
Because it is the card pool that has the least amount of cards. Mm-hmm. So there's less for you to focus on. Because if you focus on everything, you might be a little bit overwhelmed. Then branch out a little bit to see what you like. If you enjoy the digital aspect of it, try out Alchemy. If you really want to play this game on Arena as well as in paper, try to expand into Standard and paper, or go to Explore. Inevitably, you're going to go to Pioneer, or inevitably, if you like the digital aspect, you go to Historic. There's a lot of ways for you to play the game. Just take your time and focus on what you like, and do not focus on what you don't like.
I couldn't say it better myself. AJ, is there anything you want to say to listeners before we let them go?
I would agree with that in the sense that, so I just started a new hobby myself, and that was RC racing, and I knew absolutely nothing about it. So I kind of put myself in the shoes of a new Magic player, because there's so much. I can imagine approaching Magic right now and it being completely daunting. So especially for someone who's new and maybe they're on a budget or something like I am, that's why I did so much research. I would say starting with Arena is great because you get to play for free and see what you like and try it out. Try as much as you can before you buy. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you, AJ. That's going to do it for today's show. And if you guys want to say something else and cut me off, that's fine. But I want to remind everybody that me and Onique, or I should say Onique and I, will be at LAX May 27th through May 30th.
I'm so looking forward to it, man. I just want to meet you. That's it. He goes, it'll make my month.
I'll scratch that off my bucket list, right? So basically, I know I will personally be there 27th through 30th. So come on out, meet me and Onique. And, win some prizes, play some drafts. There's going to be so much products. It's going to be a huge convention. Stick around. You might have so much fun. You don't want to leave like myself. And we'll post some updates in the Magic the Gathering players group, the Cosmic Gaming Facebook group. We're going to post some stuff in the Cryptic Commander Facebook group. So look out for that kind of stuff in the heads up. And we'll give you guys next week a reminder of the fact of what we're doing. But Onique, I'm glad to be back in the saddle doing this stuff.
Yeah.
And
it's good to be back.
Yep. AJ, thank you so much for coming on today's show.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it, y'all. And again, this is such a great opportunity. And I've known you guys a little bit from our Facebook interactions. So to just sit down and have a nice conversation with y'all, it really is. It's great to officially chop it up with y'all.
Nice. Yeah, you too, man.
Don't forget to catch AJ over at Magic Dad AJ on YouTube. You can also find AJ and myself on the round table at Mr. DJ Longhair over on YouTube. Until next time, keep spell slinging.